Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lacks clearance, though, by the AC Milan team. Is punished in some style, and it's Luca Romero off the bench and into the headlines.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Serie A Spotlight. This is episode 86, or our first episode of season 3. We're your hosts, Matt
and Jake.
Good to be back after quite a long layoff from our end, bro.
Yes, we've been struggling with the lack of football. These pre-season friendlies aren't quite fun to watch. The USA ones have been alright so far. Like, the Milan-Real game actually felt like a real football game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was competitive, no?
Yeah, it was very competitive, and nice to see Milan holding their own over there, and everything looked promising, you know? Now, on Thursday, there's Milan against Juventus as well.
Yes.
In a game there, which
it's tomorrow morning at 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I'll have to watch it later because I ain't about that life.
I'm not about that life either. The 5 a.m. club is not for me.
Today we're going to be talking about transfers, guys. We're going to be covering every single transfer that has been done so far. It is Wednesday, the 26th of July, 2023, currently. All the way from Napoli down to the newly promoted teams in Frosinone, Genoa, and Cagliari. We're going to be talking about the changes that they've gone through, be it managerial or be it on the pitch.
Whilst you guys are probably really excited for this episode with the lack of football, the lack of content out at the moment, these are the episodes that, as podcasters, I'm afraid I am less excited for. Yeah. Because simply we recorded today and by tomorrow, Inter would sign fucking Messi. Yeah. So it becomes outdated pretty quick.
You know, you see a headline, "Che colpo!" like, Lukaku off the Juve.
last season, we finished recording an entire episode, only to hit the stop button and find out that Dybala joined Roma.
Yeah.
We hadn't even addressed it as a rumor. Like,
that would have been the headline, everything.
Literally. Yeah.
But
literally.
I think we got everything rumor-wise, so unless someone's moving in silence, you know?
Exactly. Like lasagna.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go, bro.
We'll see. Guys, this is our last call for those of you who want to join our Fanta Calcio League, the Fantasy Football League, the Serie A Spotlight official Fanta Calcio League. You would have to subscribe to our Patreon to do so. It's $3.99 per month. You'll be added to our WhatsApp chat, which is quite active. Lots of banter and lots of news going on there and updates. You'll get access to our question segment as well, so you can ask questions for us to discuss at the end of the podcast. And you'll be in our Fantasy League, which we will be posting weekly about on Instagram as well. We'll be posting the table. It's the official league, right? We'll be talking about it quite in depth. Yeah.
Exactly, and I mean, we have a good time on Fanta Calcio, and we're a really good group on the group chat. There's a lot of banter, there's a lot of ball knowledge as well, something I'm very pleased about. The way we work with Fanta Calcio is we do it via drafts, so there will be an online call, either on Zoom, Skype, whatever you Gen Zers are using at the moment. And yeah, it should be bags of fun, man.
Yeah, we'll do two auctions per year. There's the winter market and the pre-season market, of course.
Exactly.
Do not forget to follow and rate, guys. Rating us helps a lot with the algorithm. Drop us a 5-star rating if you really love us. We really love you, so please do so. Yeah, and reach out to us on Instagram. Say hello, of course. We're very friendly.
Exactly. We're the best, guys. But anyway, as Jake said, what we'll be doing is starting from Napoli, going down all the way to Frosinone, Genoa, and Cagliari, and discussing what acquisitions have been made, the players that are leaving, and obviously some rumors, some political movement, so on and so forth. So without further ado, I think we could start off with one of the lesser active teams, and those are the champions in Napoli. What have they done so far, bro?
Absolutely fucking nothing. So they have a new sporting director called Mauro Meluso, as Cristiano Giuntoli went to Juventus. Now, Cristiano Giuntoli is the man who discovered the likes of Kim and Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia. He's a great, great, great sporting director, and he will be working closely with Juve now. The man in his stead is Mauro Meluso, okay, and he hasn't had much to do so far. The only activity they've done is selling Kim Min-jae to Bayern Munich for 50 million, which is a very good deal, in my opinion, for one season. You never knew if he was going to repeat it or not. 50
exactly.
million for a guy at his age, why not? Not that he's old, but he's in his prime. You know,
he had a 50 million season. Apparently, Harry Maguire had an 80 million season.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah,
you know, you literally never know.
It's good money, it's good money. They've bought Elia Caprile, the goalkeeper from Bari, but they've sent him on loan to Empoli. He might be their starting keeper over there instead of Vicario. He played for Bari last season. He played every single game and almost got promoted to Serie A if it weren't for that playoff final loss at the very last minute. Very last second.
He had a very good, yeah, he had a very good playoff tournament.
He was good. I remember you commenting about him specifically while he was playing. Yes, when it comes to rumors, apparently they're very close to Lens's Kevin Danso, who's a centre-back, but they also appreciate the likes of Mavropanos from Stuttgart, he's obviously Greek with that name, and Kilman from Wolves. Verona's Faroni is another player that they've been looking at. They're considering Bernardeschi, who wants to return to European football.
Okay.
And they have also considered the likes of Maxim Lopez of Sassuolo.
Oof, very good talent.
Very good talent. And I think many teams in Italy could use his
services. He'd be a direct vice for Lobotka.
Yeah.
And, to be honest, they need a vice for Lobotka.
Of course, with Bennacer out injured, that might be a good coup for Milan as well right now. A cheap, low-cost solution. But he's also attracting lots of attention abroad as well. He actually worked with Rudy Garcia, the new manager.
Has he?
Yes, at Marseille.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we forgot to mention, of course, Spalletti is no longer the manager. Rudy Garcia is in charge, plays a similar system, will use the same lineup, same formation, same style. Yeah, we'll see what they do to replace that centre back as well.
I think with the exception of obviously Spalletti and Kim Min-jae, what we're seeing is continuity here from a Napoli side that absolutely demolished everyone and their dog last season, apart from Milan. But I think that's important. Now, why is it important to shake things up? You have to look at the dominant side of Napoli and say, not many changes need to be made over there.
Yeah, honestly, no. They ran away with the league, right? And they did quite well in the Champions League as well.
Do not sleep on them simply because they had a quiet mercato, because they might very much come in as favourites this season.
For sure. Zielinski is rumoured to be moving to Lazio or Saudi Arabia, while Lozano is also be rumoured to moving to Saudi Arabia. Zanoli, their deputy right-back for Di Lorenzo, will probably go out on loan again, but it's unsure as to who he will join.
He performed very, very well at Sampdoria last season. And I think, if the managers and the sporting directors have half a brain cell, they would realize that he did have a very good campaign at Sampdoria. And even his contributions as a right back were very, very good, especially in the latter parts of the season.
Very energetic player, lively, bombs forward.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Player. So that's pretty much it for Napoli. We can insert the John Travolta meme over here where he's looking around from Pulp Fiction, you know, the one. Because absolutely no one new has joined the club so far.
No, not at all. But this is still the same team with Kvaratskhelia. It's still the same team with Osimhen. So all they need to worry about right now is just getting a few deputies in to give them that good rotation that they have. They still have the likes of Raspadori on the bench. They still have Simeone on the bench. They still have Politano on the right. They still have all these guys. So I don't think there's too much to worry about.
And not to mention, there's still a month to go of the mercato.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Lazio, shall we move on to Lazio, bro? Up to you.
We shall move on to Lazio. So far, what they have done is probably the biggest piece of news regarding Lazio is that their star player, Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, is off to Saudi Arabia. Yes, Lazio have accepted a 40 million offer from Al Hilal, which is double of what he was going for had he gone to a Serie A team. There were 20 million bids, 25 million asking prices for him. A shame to see him leave Europe so early. The guy is 27 or 28 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. A big, big, big loss for Lazio over there. He was everything for them in that midfield, especially his eye for goal, his size, his technique. He's an irreplaceable talent. There are few players like him in that role. So that would be a massive loss. However, a good 40 million to make over there, especially when he just had 1 year left on his contract. Speaking of players that left the club on a free, young Luca Romero, the right winger. You might notice him from all of these videos of him representing the under-18s of Argentina back in the day, scoring some absolute worldies. He made a few features here and there last season. He just scored a fantastic goal for Milan against Real Madrid in a preseason friendly in the US, where you obviously heard from our goal of the week in our intro.
Goal of the preseason.
A bit funny to see him leave on a free because he's such a bright talent, but a brilliant acquisition for Milan and quite a loss for Lazio, I would say. I would say they had two significant losses over here.
Yeah, I totally agree. Luca Romero, and don't just look at his long-range shooting and his trickiness, you know, that's not even the best part of his game. It's his footballing mind that's his best
absolutely
part. He has very good footballing IQ and he's very mature for his age, and he's very selfless in his play. He knows how to link up with teammates, he knows when to pass, and then he knows when he needs to turn, take on a man and shoot
exactly
from distance.
He's very small, he fits into the into tight spaces really well, great close ball control as well. Very similar play style to Messi. There I say, nowhere near the quality, naturally. But he does have a very, very bright future ahead of him. Now, speaking of players that Lazio brought in so far, Tati Castellanos is the player they brought in from the MLS, from the New York Cosmos, for 15 million, a 24-year-old striker. He actually has quite a solid record. He's got 50 goals and 20 assists in 106 MLS matches, and also 13 goals and 1 assist in 35 matches in La Liga with Girona. Now, 13 goals in La Liga with a club like Girona, along with 1 assist, is quite a good record, and he is known for his finishing, he's known for his hold-up play, and his versatility as well. Yeah. The guy can play in quite a few positions in that attacking front. A good vice for Ciro Immobile, who has struggled with injuries.
Definitely. Immobile is obviously very difficult to displace, but he has struggled with injuries, as you said, and consistency. So we might be seeing a lot of the Tati Castellanos game
absolutely
next season. The last bomber that Lazio bought, who scored wherever he was, because in reality, you can only score where you're at, right? So if you say, oh, he's only scored in the MLS, he's only scored in this league, whatever, you can only score where you are.
Good
the
point.
Last striker they brought in was Murii, who scored wherever he was, and he absolutely flopped. So let's hope that this one goes better.
Absolutely.
Lazio, of course, won Zielinski, as discussed, but they are also rumored to be signing Jibril Ibrahima Sow for 15 million from Frankfurt. This guy is a mezzala and can also play as a regista. He got 4 goals in 32 games last year. They also like Ricci from Torino, but their asking price is 30 million. Immobile should renew. There was some drama going on with him potentially going to Saudi as well.
Yes.
The Saudi invasion is real, guys.
It is. It really, really is.
They also appreciate the talent of Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Okay. Interesting one there.
I really wanted them to get Zaha. They looked like they wanted him.
They
for
did.
A
they
but
did.
He also
look
went
like,
to Saudi.
They did look like they were going to sign Zaha. Zaha is a natural left winger, and they have Zakani over there, but he's quite versatile. So you could see him on the right, which was probably where he was going to end up playing for them. Again, not too much activity here for Lazio. I do anticipate that they will be spending that 40 million that they got in for Sergei Milinkovic-Savic. Especially, Sarri has made it clear that he would like to invest and strengthen the side. Especially, you know, that significant, again, loss of Sergei Milinkovic-Savic. That is, they are in need of a replacement in that area. interesting to see what's going to happen with a player like Luis Alberto, who has flirted with a move away from Lazio for the past two seasons. So I do believe there's a lot of movement left for Lazio in this mercato.
A very famous Luis Alberto quote was when they asked him about the new team plane. They asked him, what do you think of the new Lazio plane? He was like, it's very nice. It's a shame they can't pay our salaries.
Jesus
Christ. Immediately on Jesus the attack. Like, all right, man, I just asked you a question. You know?
Like, who are you angry with, bro?
Moving on to a very active team.
Yes. Inter.
Yes, Inter have, of course, let's start with who they've lost so far.
Yes,
who
a long list over here, guys.
So Edin Dzeko has gone to Fenerbahce on a free. Lorenzo Pirola has joined Salernitana for 5 million. Brozovic has gone to Al Nassr for 18 million. Milan Skriniar has gone to PSG for free. Roberto Gagliardini has gone to Monza for free. Samuele Mulattieri, the young striker, has gone to Sassuolo for 6 million. Dorian Males has gone to Young Boys for 2 million. Who the fuck? Andrea Onana has gone to Manchester United for 52.5 million. While Facundo Colidio has gone to River Plate for 4.5 million and Valentin Carboni has officially joined Monza. Now, when it comes to players leaving, bro, they've made quite a bit of money, but big profiles leaving here.
Big profiles. I mean, you've got the metronome in Brozovic. Sure, yeah, they have
the biggest miss of all of them.
Absolutely. I would agree with you over there. Now, obviously, they do have a player like Calhanoglu that is versatile, that can fit that role. But he doesn't bring that calm nature that Brozovic gets where, you know, if a player is struggling and is in a tight position, just pass it to Brozovic and he can switch up play and he can calm the tempo and control the tempo. So massive loss for them over there. Onana and Handanovic are obviously their two goalkeepers.
And Radu as well.
So they do need to invest over there. And also their squad is looking quite thin at the moment, which isn't something we're used to with Inter. So they do need to get more active. Interesting thing is, yes, they've made good money. 18 million from Brozovic, 52 million for Onana, 6 million for Mulattieri, 5 million for Pirola. This is all good money, 4.5 million for Colido. They could invest it, right? But it is no secret that they have struggled significantly when it comes to their finances and when it comes to balancing the books. So how much of that is going to be reinvested and how much of that is going to be damage control? Yeah. Also good to mention that obviously Lukaku is no longer part of the team. He was loaned in last season. So very important to note that
they were trying to buy him out, but then they discovered that Lukaku had been negotiating with Juventus before the Champions League final was even played, and that put him in the bad books of the Inter management, who do not wish to be associated with him anymore. Lukaku is the king of burning bridges.
Lukaku against the world. Lukaku is what against it is. The world.
But Inter have moved smart with their low cost moves. They've brought in Juan Cuadrado from Juventus, who's now 35 years old. They've brought in Marcus Thuram from Mönchengladbach on a free, which is a very good signing. He's only 25 years old. He's versatile. He can play left wing or striker.
Son of Lillian, obviously.
Son of Lillian, yes. He will be relied upon as a bomber to replace Lukaku. Balogun and Morata are still rumored, of course, but this guy has 13 goals and 6 assists in 28 starts last season, so very exciting over there. Davide Frattesi was brought in on loan with obligation to buy for 27 million from Sassuolo. We all know what he can do. Yeah. And Jan Orel Bissek was brought in from, dare I say, AGF Aarhus for 7 million. He's a center back. He's 22 years old. He's very physically strong. He's good in the air. His passing, his distribution, and his pace are highlighted as his weak points.
He'll be good in a back three, however.
Yes,
it does seem like he'll fit into his back three quite seamlessly.
I think so. He'll probably fit in like a glove. Roma, fun fact about the Frattesi deal, bro. They will make over 8 million from the sell-on clause.
Really?
Because Frattesi was a Roma youth.
Roma youth, no?
Yeah. Because he started with Lazio's Primavera and then moved to Roma's Primavera. Mm-hmm. Then he went to Sassuolo and was loaned out to Ascoli, Empoli, Monza, and eventually sold to Inter. He made the Serie B team of the season, fun fact, with Monza, scoring 8 goals in 37 games.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's been pretty good in Serie A too. I like the way he inserts himself, Frattesi.
I like Frattesi a lot, man. He's a very intelligent player and yeah, he's quite unpredictable as well. You see him bag a couple of goals He doesn't really get assists. That's one thing that he doesn't have to his arsenal. He didn't get a single assist last season, yeah, Frattesi for Sassuolo. But a very street smart player. He's good in front of goal. Gets, rather than him being good in front of goal, he finds himself in a lot of these positions. He's very, very smart with his positioning. Now, it wouldn't be us talking about Inter's transfer market without mentioning the fact that they have gotten the double over Milan with two of these players. It did seem like Thuram, after rejecting PSG, was very, very, very close to a move on a free to AC Milan. He was going to be Milan's starting, potentially, striker next year. However, in one day and a half, everything turned upside down for Milan and Inter swooped in. He had been linked to Inter the summer before that. And it just seems like ever since that link, that is the club that he wanted. Davide Frattesi was also linked with Milan to replace Tonali, obviously as a mezzala, as a box-to-box. That is a player that fits that profile quite well. However, Milan did think the asking price of 27 million for him was a little bit too high.
Yeah.
And considering the acquisitions Milan have made, they've moved quite smart to kind of overcome these two massive losses to Inter.
Yes, I definitely agree, bro. So Inter's main concern right now, to sum it all up, is they need a goalkeeper because they've gone on their preseason
tour. They need two goalkeepers. Yeah,
they went on their preseason tour with Di Gennaro in goal. Di Gennaro played in Serie C.
Di Gennaro, the restaurant in Milan, bro. Fucking...
Yes, they were trying for Jan Sommer, but Bayern want to find a replacement before they sell. Now look at the difference between how these clubs are run. Bayern Munich want to find a replacement before they let go of their second goalkeeper, while Inter sold their first one without even thinking.
Money, bro, money. They need the money. They need
Toloi
the money.
Toloi is rumored to be joining Inter as a centre back. Yes, Toloi from Atalanta. Scamacca and Morata are still being discussed for the striker position, and Samardzic is also a profile who Inter appreciated. Samardzic, of course, plays with Udinese.
Yes, a star player, a very, very, good, bright, very bright future.
Talent. Yes.
Absolutely.
Moving on.
Now, we could do an entire episode on the transfer mercato of AC Milan, who finished fourth last season with a stroke of luck, reached the semi-finals of the Champions League in the beginning of the transfer market. Well, rather, after the last game of the season against Verona, the news broke out that Milan and Maldini have parted ways after Jerry Cardinale gave him and Massara the boot for misusing the funding that they had allocated to him, offering such high wages to a player like Divock Origi, signing De Ketelaere, who was unproven, for 35 million.
Dest
as well. And then moments after that, a couple of weeks after that, whilst I was out having a few drinks as well, Tonali, it just suddenly from one day to the next, Tonali was confirmed to be joining Newcastle United for the fee of 64 million. A player that bleeds red and black, a lifelong AC Milan fan. It was absolutely devastating for Milan fans to lose a legend like Maldini, 5 Champions Leagues, an entire career at AC Milan. The pull factor he had was ridiculous. Him and Massara finding players and getting coups like Ben Nasser, like Leao,
Kalulu,
Theo Hernandez, Tonali, all of these coups, and then suddenly they have parted ways. However, Milan have moved very strategically with that 64 million that was made from Sandro Tonali. Before I get into that, they also parted ways with Marco Brescianini, who went to Frosinone, and Matteo Gabbia, who has been loaned to Villarreal, and potentially that will be made permanent. Now, with the acquisitions in from that 64 million euro that they made of Sandro Tonali, Milan have signed a vice goalkeeper for Mike Maignan in Marcos Sportiello from Atalanta on a free, 31-year-old Italian goalkeeper. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, a central midfielder from Chelsea for 16 million. Very versatile player, very technically gifted, known, however, to be quite injury-prone. Luca Romero as a right winger on a free from Lazio. We've already covered him. Christian Pulisic from Chelsea, another fantastic player, still young, 24 years old. We all know how capable he is. We all know that on his day, lockdown Pulisic can be one of the best players in the world. However, he does struggle significantly with injuries. Tijani Reinders from AZ Alkmaar for 19 million, a mezzala. very, very technically gifted, good shooting, good passing, good tackling, an absolute all-rounder, a direct replacement for Sandro Tonali. He becomes one of the legendary Dutch players to join Milan. Samuel Chukwueze from Villarreal for 20 million plus 8 million in bonuses, right winger. Very, very quick, very skillful, a very exciting player to bring in. This is a player that's worth 50 million but only had one season left on his contract. Very, very exciting.
You know what excites me about Chukwueze? The fact that you have Leao on the left, whose biggest strength is his stride, right? So he's good when he has space. He'll knock the ball past his man and he'll beat him like that. Chukwueze is the complete opposite. Chukwueze wants the ball as close to him as possible.
Exactly.
So there's two complete opposites on each flank, and that's going to be super fun to watch.
And in between them, another great signing for AC Milan, Noah Okafor from Red Bull Salzburg for 14 million. 23 years old, the guy can play as a winger, he can play as a striker. He is known for ruining the career of now teammate Pierre Kalulu, after he bagged a goal for Milan after putting the ball through Kalulu's legs and then putting the ball through Mike Maignan's legs. The guy looks very, very good. Yeah. The question is he going to be the starting striker? Is he going to rotate with Giroud? Is Chukwueze going to start on the right wing, or is it going to be Pulisic? Is Pulisic going to play as an attacking midfielder? The options that Milan have to their arsenal for next season are absolutely crazy, bro. What do you make of their mercato so far?
So, when it comes to the players brought in, they all have one thing in common, and that is clear talent.
Yes.
You don't have any of... These guys can all play very well. They're all high-technique players, you know?
Absolutely.
Granted, the output isn't great. For example, Noah Okafor, you look at Noah Okafor last season in the Austrian League. He played 21 games, he got 7 goals and 3 assists.
Not crazy.
Not crazy, you know? He got 3 goals in 6 Champions League games, which is a very good sign. Mm-hmm. Because they're not often the favorite. No,
exactly, Salzburg. Exactly.
And against Milan, he was one of the liveliest players in both games.
Absolutely.
His best domestic season was in 2021, where he got 9 goals and 9 assists. So once again, not a very productive striker, but a very talented striker. Mm-hmm. And
he didn't always play striker for them as well.
He can play on the wing as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a very good point. You look at Chukwueze as well, not the most productive. Last season he had 27 starts, he got 6 goals and 5 assists. Not crazy, but at least he brings a different dynamic to the team, exactly. You look at, for example, Reinders, excuse my pronunciation.
Reinders? I say Reinders.
Reinders. He is super consistent, that's what's nice to see. He played 34 games in the
Eredivisie.
Eredivisie last season. He got 3 goals and 8 assists. He also got 2 assists in the Conference League. So that's a player at least who doesn't really suffer from injuries. He is always there, no?
Yeah, I think he's going to be fantastic for Milan in midfield. I think the players that were signed, obviously you're talking about the output that they had so on and so forth. I think systematically, they all fit the mold very, very well. You look at a player like Noah Okafor, for example. I watched a video breaking down his style of play, and the majority of work that he does is off the ball when it comes to the press. And that really helps with a Pioli system that is very offensive, a Pioli system that doesn't let the other team breathe, plays with the gegenpress, and he is going to be a fantastic player off the ball, whether Milan need a goal or whether Milan want to salvage a point, for example. He's going to be key for them.
Yes, in a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3, such as Milan play, there's going to be a new dynamic now. Because Giroud, God bless him, I love him, but he can't press as intensely as a younger profile can. And this guy is going to give Milan a new dynamic. I'm also very happy with Marco Sportiello as the second goalkeeper. He kept Musso out of Atalanta last season.
Last 8 games of the season, it was Sportiello.
He has 199 Serie A appearances. That is always good to have on your bench as well. Loftus-Cheek, we'll see. And Luca Romero, of course, exciting young talent. Now, there has actually been a rule change that has benefited Milan. So, Swiss nationals, prior to this rule being implemented, were already accepted as EU nationals. So, they didn't take up non-EU slots. The same thing has been introduced for English players. Ruben Loftus-Cheek no longer takes up a non-EU spot for Milan. Therefore, Chukwueze was not the last one.
Exactly.
So that means Milan can now move for Kamada, who they were after and who had actually been waiting for Milan.
Yes. Probably still is waiting for Milan.
Probably still is, bro. I love the guy. So sweet. He was waiting. Taremi of Porto, the very intelligent striker who moves very well off the ball and is very opportunistic.
30-year-old Israeli whose numbers are ridiculous. He scores wherever he is.
He's a bomber.
Goes.
He's a 20-goal-a-season striker.
Exactly.
And then you have Bulaedia, who I personally, that's my favorite personally. I really hope it happens, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Milan also want a deputy left back for Theo, and they're considering Califiori of Basel or Rogerio of Sassuolo or Rogerio of Atalanta.
Mm.
Personally, I don't think the Rogerio shout is too bad. I'm not a big fan of him and of Sassuolo defenders in general. But as a vice, you know, Theo is quite reliable.
Mm.
He doesn't miss many games.
He doesn't excite me the same way that Balotelli doesn't excite me. Yeah, I think there's a similar level over there. I don't think it's an upgrade. But when you have a player like Theo Hernandez who can play 38, 39 matches a season unless he gets a red card every now and then or an accumulation of yellow cards. You know, it is what it is. Rogerio isn't going to destroy the entire team, but he wouldn't be the ideal choice. It's more, so Milan still have, apparently after the most recent signing of Chukwueze, it has been made clear by Jerry Cardinale that there are around five more signings to be made, the left back being one of them. Two midfielders, at least, a centre-back after Gabbia parted ways.
And probably a striker.
And probably a striker still. So, apparently, Musa is a top priority for Milan in the midfield.
Yes, the Villarreal midfielder.
Valencia.
Valencia yes, you're
midfielder.
Right.
Milan have offered 18 million, but Valencia want 25. For him, he's just 20 years old. He's half American, half English. Seems like a good player. I think he can grow into the team. He's not going to be a starter when he comes in, but a good player to have. Especially when, you know, Milan still need a player that can dispossess players. And I think Musa can be that guy.
I'm not too sold on Musa personally. I know that he has been kept out of Valencia's plans for technical reasons. I've heard mixed reviews of him. But there is an analytical approach, so I'm sure that they see something that might not be obvious to the eye.
Yeah.
Singo is another profile that they're after, as a vice Calabria, perhaps. Maybe Florenzi would be off after that, because his wages are quite high.
Yes.
Cabral was the latest rumor in attack. Fiorentina's Cabral.
Gimme.
That would be another nice...
Gimme.
Morata, of course, has also been rumored. I hope that doesn't happen. But yeah, that's pretty much sums up Milan's mercato so far. It's been action packed, man.
So obviously, as a Milan fan, my past couple of weeks have been following new footballers on Instagram and DMing them, "Welcome, brother." it's just such a nice process. We're not used to this. Obviously, it's been quiet mercatos over the past few mercatos. The last time Milan had a mercato like this was under... what's his fucking face, man?
Yong Hong Lee.
Yes, under Yong Hong Lee, when you know a bunch of signings were made, Luis Adriano, Fassone and Mirabelli.
Exactly.
A bunch of signings were made over there, perhaps less strategic and more profile based.
And older players signed for high fees, like Biglia brought in for like 20 million.
Bonucci was brought in as well from Juve.
Kalinic, Musacchio,
Andre Silva.
Back then we were blinded. We thought we were going to win everything.
Uh-huh. But I think it's more strategic this time round. I think Maldini will be pissed off. Like, why didn't I have this budget? Probably because you wouldn't have sold Sandro Tonali. is the answer. Yeah. And Tonali was pivotal for Milan when it comes to Milan's success over the past 2 years. It's no secret, especially in the Scudetto winning season and also reaching the Champions League semi-finals last season. But his biggest contribution was probably this season with all the signings.
You horrible bastard.
I mean, we'll see at the end of next season, but it is a massive contribution, no?
I think his best contribution was in John Wick.
Last. Not in Star Wars, bro.
Couldn't think of an Adam Driver film, so I just went for the other guy. What's his name? John Wick. What the fuck is that guy's name?
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to Atalanta.
Yes.
Before we get the usual.
Go for this
30 one. 30 minutes on Milan, 5 on the rest.
You're right. We never get that. We criticize ourselves for that, bro. We've never gotten that feedback.
You're right.
So don't be the first one.
Atalanta. So Atalanta have been busy hustling United, asking for 90 million for Rasmus.
Like, relaxing, Jesus Christ.
I believe the last news was United offered 50 million plus 10 million in bonuses, but Atalanta won 70. They're just having fun.
I mean, at this point, they're looking around them. They're seeing Onana to United for 52 million. They're seeing Tonali to Newcastle for 64 million. And they're saying, you know, fucking what, man? We can do this. Like, yeah. We can play this game as well. And we can reinvest.
And Atalanta have been playing this game for a very long time.
Yes,
bro. They've been selling high for a while. Sam Lammers is a guy who has been sold to Rangers for 3.5 million euros. And Jeremy Boga will be leaving the league after quite a few years now. We're using him at Sassuolo as well.
Season and a half at Atalanta. Mm-hmm. Really didn't hit the ground running. It was a bit of a weird signing in the first place.
It
simply didn't make sense. They didn't play with a winger.
Exactly. But then they tried to play 3-4-3 and it just became very strange.
Yeah.
He's off to Nice for 20 million. So they even managed to get 20 million for him over there. Now they've brought in El Bilal Toure from Almeria for 30 million. He's a 21-year-old striker who is physically strong and can finish very well. He had 15 starts in La Liga last season. He's from Mali. He scored 7 goals and got 2 assists. He played in France from 2019 to 2022 with Rennes, scoring 9 times and getting 5 assists in 31 starts. So the young man is definitely capable of scoring goals. He looks like a Duvan Zapata type of mold. And that guy is also rumored to be leaving Duvan Zapata. Apparently Monza like him. That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Yeah. Duvan Zapata to Monza. Very cool.
They've brought in Adopo from Torino, the 23-year-old defensive midfielder. We've seen what he can do. He only had 3 starts for Torino last year. 6 appearances off the bench. Nothing too crazy, but he does seem like the type of player that Atalanta and Gasperini can refine and mold him into the profile.
Yes, they also need someone to break down play. They've got a good midfield that can play the ball around with players like Deron, players like Pasalic, players like Koopmeiners. But where's the grit? Whereas the aggression in the midfield, I do believe that Adopo can bring a little bit of that to this team.
He'll become a very intelligent player in no time.
Yeah.
Mitchell Bakker has been brought in from Bayer Leverkusen for 10 million. A very exciting player over here. A pacey left wing back or left back kind of...
Kind of a crab
the way he moves.
He is a crab.
Because he gets the ball... And instead of going straight, he goes sideways.
I've never seen anyone move the way this guy moves, Bakker. But it's unorthodox, but he looks great. Yeah. He looks like that left wing back that they haven't had since Gosens.
Yeah.
Definitely an upgrade for them. He's got a rocket in his pocket Bakker.
19 starts in Germany last year with 3 goals and 2 assists. He also scored and assisted in 5 European Europa League starts. He has 22 starts with PSG as well. He was actually bred over there as a player.
Yes.
But Gasperini has made a comment on Bakker. He said that he's the one of the new signings who's struggling the most. Now, I don't know if these are mind games or if he's maybe... just randomly picking on him because he likes him, but I don't know. Why do you think he would publicly say that about a new signing in preseason?
It's strange, man. There are managers like Gasperini and Mourinho who throw their players under the bus. The last time I remember Gasperini making a comment like this about one of his players was about Malinovsky. And moments after he said that, he sold him. He said he needs an attacking midfielder that can get more than 6 goals a season, pretty much. And then he sold him. So if history will repeat itself, it means that Bakker doesn't have a long stay over there. But since he just joined, I'm sure he's just trying to, you know, motivate him and put some pressure on him.
Yeah, probably. Sead Kolasinac, you'll remember this man from Arsenal, has been playing at Marseille and has been picked up by Atalanta on a free. He's 30 years old nowadays. He had 26 starts last season for Marseille. He actually got 4 goals and 1 assist. I expect he'll form part of their back 3.
I think so too.
Yeah, he had a very interesting viral video, remember, when he chased off a mugger?
Yes, bro. Oh my God, with Ozil.
Yeah.
These muggers went to steal their watches. Ozil got into the car and almost started driving away. And this guy was just intimidating three men holding knives, yeah. Bro. Just like, I'm going to fucking punch you. And they're all like running away. It was crazy. No, he brings aggression. He brings grit. He has struggled with injuries and that has impacted his fitness quite a bit when it comes to his explosiveness and his pace, which was something that he had in the beginning of his stay with Arsenal, but even less so now, which is why I see him as more of a centre-back at Atalanta. It's good for him that they play with a three at the back because he's not the most defensively sound player.
I think it was a smart signing for that reason.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And the fact that they got him on a free isn't bad. Do I think Atalanta can do better? Yes. Do I think that they got a coup? Yes.
Yeah, fair enough, bro. Roma.
Roma. So, when it comes to the players that have left Roma so far, it's been Benjamin Tahirovic, who's gone to Ajax for 7.5 million. We all remember the few games he had towards the latter stages of the season last year when Roma were hit with a bunch of injuries. Justin Kluivert, after spending some time out on loan, obviously the son of Patrick Kluivert, he has joined Bournemouth for 11.2 million, some good money for Roma over there. Christian Volpato, the Australian-born Italian midfielder, known for his last-minute goal on his debut. If I'm not mistaken, it was his debut where he scored a winner. He scored two goals
last
season or the season before. Memory's a bit foggy over there, but Christian Volpato, good talent, he's joining Sassuolo. He will definitely be a great signing for them and will continue to contribute to Sassuolo's strong midfield. Ruben Providence has joined Hartberg for 300 million. So, oh my God, for 300k and
breaking the global record transfer fee.
And Filippo Missori has also joined Sassuolo for 2.5 million. So a bit of movement here, some good money made by Roma, around 25 million worth of transfers over here. And they haven't really used that amount. They haven't spent a cent, much like last season, where they signed players like Gini Wijnaldum and Dybala and Bellotti without spending a single cent. Similarly, this year, they have signed Evan Indica from Frankfurt on a free. Young centre-back, just 23 years old, very strong in the air. He played 38 games last season and he managed 4 goals and 4 assists the season before in Germany. Rasmus Christensen from Leeds on a free. He is a 26-year-old right-back. He had 21 Premier League starts last year, 3 goals and 1 assists, which is his most productive season yet. And Houssem Aouar from Lyon, centre midfielder, 25 years old, 6 starts and had 1 goal and 1 assist in the league last season. His best season was in 2018-2019 where he had 7 goals and 7 assists. And he also managed 7 goals and 3 assists in 2020-2021. So, nothing crazy for Roma. But so far, it just seems like they trust in their starting 11 and it's just maintenance, you know?
That seems to be the case. However, they do want a striker. And the profiles that they're looking at are Scamacca, who apparently they're very close with and Mourinho appreciates. And Scamacca actually wants to join Roma.
He's a Roma fan.
Yeah. Morata's another profile they were looking at and Mourinho appreciates his services. Well, many managers like the idea of Morata more than the fans do in reality.
It's funny to think he's obviously a good squad player, brings good pace. If that offside rule does come into play, then he will be a better striker. But he's unfortunately overpaid his entire career. He's been overpaid his entire career. He makes around 6 million a season and that is what he's asking for.
Yes, so, which is fair enough. No, those are your rates.
Those are your rates, brother.
They are also focusing on getting Dybala a new contract because they are terrified of losing him.
I'm surprised they haven't yet.
Yes,
20
he's
million.
Got a 20 million release clause.
Crazy. Crazy. Milan need attacking midfielder. They can do it tomorrow. Like, fucking
honestly,
hell.
Honestly, at this rate. But of course, a player would have to be willing to leave. And I think he's enjoyed himself so far in Rome.
Absolutely.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens there if they manage to tie him down. Other than that, Roma, I don't think there's anything...
Well, they're apparently interested in Renato Sanchez.
Renato Sanchez,
of course. A player that joined Milan like 5 times officially without ever stepping foot in Milan. Leao announced it once as well, but few comments here and there.
Honestly, and you look at these guys like Awar as well.
Mm.
How is Awar only 25 years old?
Hey, it seems like he's been around for ages, bro.
With Serie A teams for so long.
Hey, I think Indica is a good signing. I think when you look at, for example, Ibanez's performances last season, I think Indica might be a starter over there.
Yes.
I think Mancini and Smalling are two great centre-backs that are very, you know, Mourinho-esque defenders. I think even he is a Mourinho-esque defender. I just said his name, Jesus.
Ibanez Mancini.
Ibanez. Okay. But he's too error-prone.
Yes,
he's very good at playing his part in set-piece situations, but he struggles a lot defensively and a lot on the bigger stages. And Mourinho does want his team to be on the bigger stages. So I do anticipate that Indica is there to directly take Ibanez's role.
As we discussed in previous episodes, Ibanez's problem is purely psychological at this point. He starts to wonder, you know, am I going to make a mistake? Oh my God, I'm going to make a mistake. And he makes a mistake.
Yeah. Or at least Indica has been brought in to play 2 matches a season against Lazio.
There we go. So moving on to Juventus. Juventus have sales to make, but they have players on high wages and they don't have European football. So before they can actually make moves in the market and exercise Giuntoli as their sporting director, they need to figure out who they're going to sell and how they're going to sell them.
Yes.
There have been rumors, however, many, many rumors. And there has actually been one signing. They've brought in Timothy Weah from Lille for 11.3 million.
Who's his dad?
His dad is the former Ballon d'Or winner, George Weah.
Yes.
Of course.
And former
president of Liberia.
Current president of Liberia.
Something like
current
that.
Current or former president of Liberia.
But anyway, Timothy Weah has played as a striker, as a right winger, and as a right back, but has commented that he would prefer to play as the number 9 for Juventus this season.
All right, dog.
Smiles in Allegri. Right, he's a right-footed 23-year-old pacey finisher. You know, he's got last season he played 29 games in League One. He scored 2 goals. His best season was in 2021-2022, where he got 3 goals and 4 assists in 29 games. So when it comes to his output, it's not fantastic, but he's definitely talented.
He's definitely a direct replacement of Cuadrado. Yes. This guy's saying he wants to play number 9. I don't think that will be the case. But he's a very versatile player, very raw. Mm-hmm. As well. He's also played as left back before. I've seen clips of him playing as left back.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So Juve have also lost Angel Di Maria to Benfica on a free, Juan Cuadrado to Inter on a free, and Paredes back to PSG at the end of his loan. And I'm sure Juve fans will breathe a sigh of relief over there. I think Juventus's market can be unlocked if this whole Mbappe situation with PSG actually hits the fan, you know. Mbappe going to Saudi Arabia for a season, making bank and joining Real Madrid for free is a hypothesis that has been discussed.
Mm-hmm.
That would free up a striker spot for Paris Saint-Germain, and they could go for Vlahovic. They have been interested in Vlahovic, and they'd pay for him. And that would give Juve some leeway, and they could actually make some signings over there.
Definitely. That's a very good point. At this point, I don't know if they'd want to lose Vlahovic. I know he's underperformed. Is Allegri to blame? Is he to blame? Is the whole situation to blame? I mean, everyone underperformed for Juve last year. So it's hard to put the blame anywhere, really. But Juve are in a very tough situation. Like you said, no Europe next year. Their pull factor seems to be compromised. They play a boring brand of football under Allegri, and I do think that that's recognized from potential employees, for potential players that could join their team. It's a weird one. How much is it going to affect them next year? I believe it's going to affect them significantly. I think it'll be Juve fighting hard to get top four next year.
Yeah.
Fighting hard.
They will
play very defensively. They'll get a lot of 1-0 victories. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be a good side, but wow, if things keep on going, exactly, if things keep on going this way, it's going to be the Juve of last year and the Juve of the year before.
Yes. Lukaku and Kessié are the latest names to be mentioned for Juventus. Lukaku going to Juve would make a crazy derby d'Italia when they face Inter eventually.
Absolutely.
Kessié would be a fantastic signing for them. Currently, one of those players that you can get on a coup because he hasn't performed to his best abilities. We've seen what he can do at Atalanta and at Milan, and he is an absolute cheat code in midfield. Even the fact that when you have the lead, you just give him the ball near the corner flag and he has outmuscles three players. That's so much fun to watch and such a good thing to have on your team, that strength, that raw power.
He can solve a lot of issues that Juventus have. He's a very, very talented player and much better with the ball at his feet than people think. He's a very intelligent player, Kessié.
Udinese's Pereira is available for free and he might also join Juve. So yeah, that's it for Juve. We can move on to Fiorentina.
Yes, so Fiorentina have been rather active, as they typically are, in transfer windows, to be fair. So out so far, they have Lorenzo Venuti, who has gone to Lecce on a free. Quite a good signing for Lecce over there. Jakub Rasmussen has joined Brøndby for 3 million. Ricardo Saponara to Hellas Verona on a free. At least he's going to get a lot of minutes over there. Well, not that he didn't get a lot of minutes at Fiorentina. He was starting most games over
Fantasy football, he's mine.
No, you can.
There's no chance.
Bro. Guys, Ricardo Saponara is a brilliant, brilliant signing for Hellas Verona. What were Hellas Verona last season? Donkeys. What are they not going to be next season? Donkeys.
Yes.
This guy is going to bring the IQ. This guy is going to bring the movement. This guy is going to bring everything to Verona next year. He is off on a free over there. Aleksa Terzic has joined Salzburg for 5.5 million, whilst Igor has joined Brighton for 20 fucking million. What a move there by Fiorentina to make 20 million on the guy that lost them the Conference League final.
Yeah, honestly, amazing selling spree.
Brilliant. They've made more than 30 million. Yeah, well, they've made 28 million, 28.5 million.
Not to mention that Amrabat to United is probably happening, 25 million plus bonuses. But they have many, many gaps in their squad to fill. They need a goalkeeper. Absolutely. They're looking at the likes of Montepo, Maximiano, Audero. They're even looking at Falcone, but Falcone is going to be staying at Lecce. And Basquerotto is a top defensive target for them to replace Igor. That would be really cool.
That would be very good.
They're also looking at fullbacks, Zanoli and Gendre in particular. They like Maxime Lopez, Pereira, Schouten, Inzola, Orsolini and Dia. They also like Lucas Beltran. He's a defender from River Plate. He's target, but he costs 20
million. What are they? Me when I was 13 with all these crushes. I like her. They just like everyone, Fiorentina. The players that they've signed so far are Arthur Melo, pardon me, from loaned in from Juventus with an option to buy of 20 million. Not a bad player, Arthur Melo, just not worth the amount of money that he's been traded for in the past. There was this whole thing about, did he land in Florence? Did he flee Florence? Yeah. But he's there, guys. He signed. He's held up the shirt. He signed the contract.
There was a random article. Medical cancel.
He's just fucked off. Abdelhamid Sabiri from Sampdoria for 4 million. I think he's a fantastic fit for Fiorentina. I think having him and Baraka's options behind that striker is just amazing. You either have the elegance of one or the fucking ferociousness of the other. Just 4 million euros as well, since Sampdoria were relegated. Abdelhamid Sabiri to Fiorentina. Fabiano Parisi, another fantastic signing here for Fiorentina. The left back from Empoli for 10 million. Yes, left back, because there's right back written here. Brother, he's a left back. Vice for Biraghi, probably a lot of rotation over there. We know Italiano and that he enjoys rotation. Parisi is just one hell of a coup for them. A player that is worth, to me, more than 10 million, is just he was at Empoli.
Yeah, that's it. He's their best signing so far. He could have easily gone to a bigger team, but I think he wanted a guaranteed starting spot over there. His breakout season was in 2021, where he had 16 starts. He developed nicely into a vital piece for Zanetti's system, and eventually in his second season managed 33 appearances and 2 goals, and would also join the midfield in the build-up play kind of like Theo Hernandez does.
Yeah. You said guaranteed starter. I mean, they have Biraghi.
I think Parisi might displace him.
The captain, Biraghi.
You never know, bro.
You never know, but I don't think he's a guaranteed starter. I think he needs to fucking fight it's more, if he wants to displace Biraghi.
My point is more like he's more likely to replace Biraghi than he is to replace Theo or DeMarco.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Or Mario Rui at the moment. You know?
That's true.
Yes, bro. What do you think about Arthur Melo? He didn't play for Liverpool at all, and he wasn't really suitable for Allegri when he was at Juve. He was good at Barca between 2018 and 2019.
Was he, though? He was okay.
Ah, he was hailed to be a very good player there.
I think he's a very good talent. I think he's a talented player. I think he's a very intelligent player. He's still rather young, 27 years old, in that midfield role. But the simple fact of the matter is he has been inactive for a while. And I think that has a lot to do with maybe his attitude or his personality. Because how could you go to Liverpool, not play a single game over there? How could you go to Juventus and barely make any noise over there? He had, like you said, a couple of good seasons at Barcelona last year. But when you have Busquets on your side, it's a bit easy to look good. But he was fluid over there. He moved the ball around. And then suddenly he was caught up in this 90 million euro trade, 80 million euro trade. And ever since that, he's just fallen off the radar completely. And maybe, hopefully, this move to Fiorentina will help him get that confidence that he had and revitalize his career. Apologies.
Yes, bro. Another signing I'm worried about here. Well, worried about. It's only 4 million euro, but Abdelhamid Sabiri has never actually quite played a full season. And that's really strange to me. He had 12 starts for a terrible Sampdoria side last year and 9 starts the year before.
I found that to be very, very odd, man. It's odd. He's obviously their star player, like Sampdoria.
But then you watch him play and you realize that he doesn't contribute much defensively. His work rate isn't very high. He doesn't often get involved in games, you know?
To me, he plays a bit more... He plays a bit more defensively than I think he should. He doesn't contribute defensively. I think the guy is a secondary striker. I don't think he's an attacking midfielder. I think his strengths would be much closer to goal. I think he's being played out of position, which is crazy because I'm wrong.
You think he's a secondary striker?
I think he's a second striker, Sabiri. I think his qualities are that of a secondary striker.
I think
a bit of an Ilicic.
I view him more as kind of that. Almost a Suso mold, you know what I mean? Kind of like...
He can play, that's why I said Ilicic. He can play out wide, he can play behind the striker, but not a trick wide.
He's not mobile enough to be a striker, that's the thing.
No, that's why secondary. Yeah. I don't think he's a trick wideista. I don't think he's a mezzala, and that's where he's been deployed. I really don't think that's his position, but who knows?
We'll see. Well, at Fiorentina, he's going to have to play on the right or in midfield.
Yeah,
probably. In a midfield three, as a mezzala. So
probably.
So, like, or maybe Abdelhamid, you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, and thing is, he is versatile in the sense that we've seen him play trequartista, we've seen him play mezzala.
He's technical enough to get away with it.
Exactly, like he could come on for Barak and he can come on for Bonaventura and he can come on for Ikone and he can come on for Nico. You know what I mean? He's versatile like that. He's versatile or he doesn't have a position.
I think he'll probably play in midfield because they have so many wingers.
Yeah, I think Anyway. I think so.
Is that it for Fiorentina?
We mentioned
everyone and their mom who they're linked with. Bologna. Now, what have Bologna been doing? So they've brought in Sam Buchema from AZ Alkmaar for 10 million. He's a center back. He's 24 years old. He's a big guy, you know, he's a traditional defender, you know, he's not about pace or ball control, he's literally there to win you aerial duels, to win you tackles, to regain possession, he's that type of defender. In 2 seasons with AZ, he managed 54 appearances, 5 goals and 1 assist as well. He's developing into a dependable, solid defender.
Yes, him and Sao Mauro will be frightening next to each other,
yes,
to say the least.
Usama El Azouzi is a player who has come in for Bologna.
Azouzi.
From Union SCG for €2 million. He's a center midfielder, 22 years old. He can play the ball around very well. He's got he had 30 games with Union SCG last year. He hardly started, but he came on in most games. If Dominguez eventually leaves, this guy will be the replacement.
Definitely.
Now, Bologna have also let go of Kasius to AZ Alkmaar for €3 million. Roberto Soriano has left on a free. Gary Medel has joined Vasco da Gama on a free. And Nicola Sansone is currently a free.
Yes, agent. A lot of... like, when you look at Soriano, Medel and Sansone, like, okay, they weren't the biggest contributors to Bologna. Soriano had a weak season last year and seems like he's been declining. Sansone, whenever he plays, he looks really selfish, although he has his good moments. Medel was very important for them two seasons ago, but he is getting older. Is he a center back? Is he a defensive midfielder? His fitness has gone back a little bit. But three players that were... not staples. Key to Bologna, but staples, exactly, yes. Staples. And they lost them all on a free, so I think if I were a supporter of Bologna, I would be upset to see all that movement on a free. And I know because I'm a Milan supporter, so I've seen
but
all that movement on a free.
It's a new reign, no? It's Motta, and Motta true. Wants more modern players. These guys are outdated nowadays.
And they're removing removing the bad grass. They're trimming the fat. Exactly.
Fiorentina are after Dominguez. Many clubs are after Dominguez. Yes. Arnautovic is currently hot property. Bologna are after Balotelli, Calafiori, and Cambiaso. They're all targets. They're also monitoring 29-year-old Bernardeschi, who wants to return to Europe, of course, as we discussed. Himad Abdelli is on the radar. He's Algerian, class of 99, playing for Angers in League One.
Yes.
So yes, that's what's going on with Bologna at the moment.
Yes, sir. Interesting to see what Motta's men will do next year. Moving on to Torino, who have been quite active this year. When it comes to the players that have left the club, as we've already mentioned, Michel Adopa has gone to Atalanta on a free. Didn't exactly have a thrilling spell with Torino, however, as we mentioned, could be quite effective with Atalanta. Olaina, who also had nothing to write home about, spell at Torino, he is off to Nottingham Forest on a free, our favourite English team. Will be interesting to see how he fares over there. It's always interesting to see players leaving Italy to join the Premier League. Obviously, Olaina is no stranger to the English game, came up through the ranks at Chelsea, and he's back home, back in the United Kingdom. And also, Magnus Warming has left to join Brand for $700k. When it comes to the players that have joined, a few very good coups over here for Torino, namely the signing of Adrian Tamez from Hellas Verona, the 29-year-old defensive midfielder, known for being quite an all-rounder in that midfield area, one of Hellas Verona's loyal players that stayed through when all of these players were moving to other big clubs. Known for his stints at Atalanta, Hellas Verona and Nice, he will bring loads of experience to the side. He has 115 games in Serie A with 5 goals and 2 assists. Nothing flashy, but he certainly gets the job done. Raul Bellanova joined from Cagliari for €7 million, the 23-year-old right back who spent the last season on loan at Inter with an option to buy. Didn't get that many opportunities at Inter, which is why he was let to go back to Cagliari, who made €7 million off of his sale as he joins Torino. He'll be very important for them. He had 18 appearances only for Inter last year. He brought lots of energy but little output. A hot talent during his Milan Primavera days. And he is, in fact, the gentleman that leaked Chiellini's nudes. His vision has never been his strong suit, which goes hand in hand with the fact that he brought no output. He didn't see Chiellini's massive dick in the background as he took that photo with Cristiano Ronaldo. He went to Bordeaux, Atalanta, Cagliari, and eventually Inter, and now he joins Torino for his new stint. Mihai Popa, I love it when you call me Mihai Popa. Throw your hands in the air. He has joined from Voluntari on a free. He's a 22-year-old goalkeeper. He's Romanian and he never played outside Romania, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do for Torino. Will he bench Vanya? Probably not.
Ricci is currently hot property at Torino. Of course, everyone seems to want him, but Cairo demands 30 million, and we all know Cairo and how hard he is to negotiate with. Singo is also wanted by Milan, of course, as we discussed. Now, there's an Argentine talent called Alejo Veliz, born in 2003. He plays for Club Atletico Rosario Central, and he's wanted by Torino, who will probably offer 6 million for him. Torino also want to keep Vlasic, but West Ham are asking for 13 million and they're still trying to negotiate there, while distance with Atalanta for Miranchuk is still very much there, and it looks unlikely that Miranchuk will be staying in Torino.
Another perhaps season where Juric is going to be a little bit displeased about the transfer market once again due to Cairo not listening to the talented coach's demands. However, Tamez and Bellanova are two good coups for this team.
Yes.
I do believe that those are two very good signings for them, and there's still a month left, so we'll see what they can do. Hopefully they won't be letting go of either Vlasic or Miranchuk, because those two really bring a lot of intelligence, a lot of flair, and a lot of output to that front three, especially with Tony Sanabria down the middle.
I agree, bro. When it comes to Monza, of course, after Berlusconi's death, it was the Greek tycoon who was in charge of Olympiakos. And who else? There was a Premier League team as well. I can't quite remember at the moment.
Leeds,
yes. And I can't remember his name, and probably even if I did, I would mispronounce it. So he is currently the owner of Monza, and they have made a few moves. Now, obviously, they needed to redeem everyone who had clauses, survival clauses in their contract, basically.
Exactly.
So they already had a lot to spend over there. Now, Christian Gitker has gone to Venezia on a free. He will be up top with your favorite Poyanpolo, bro.
Yes.
That's a Viking partnership.
Yes, sir.
Christian Gitker and Poyanpolo up front together for Venezia. And they have also sold Cranio. It's a loan with option for an undisclosed fee to Sassuolo. That's a great coup by Sassuolo over there.
Very, Cranio. Very good coup. It was a no-brainer for a team that needed a goalkeeper, maybe one of the smaller teams to go in and show faith to Cranio, because on his day he's a marvelous goalkeeper, and for a long time he was known to be the next big thing for goalkeepers in Italy.
It's just a shame for him that his competition was Di Gregorio, who is a fantastic goalkeeper. Alessio Cranio actually played one game last season. It was a 3-0 loss to Salernitana. He didn't play again. Monza have made two signings so far official. They've brought in Valentin Carboni from Inter on loan with, I believe it's an option or an obligation, I can't quite remember. And Roberto Gagliardini on a free. Now, what to expect from these guys? Now, Valentin Carboni is quite versatile. He can be an attacking midfielder, a centre forward, or a right winger. He's only 18 years old. He has 5 appearances off the bench for Inter last season, 29 appearances, 5 goals and 5 assists with the Primavera. And he played his first ever Champions League game against Bayern Munich last year. He got called up for Argentina in 2022. And fun fact, his brother, Franco Carboni, already plays with Monza, and their dad manages the under-17 team.
Wow, okay. That's interesting.
It's a homecoming for him.
Yeah, they also want to sign Arnautovic or Duvan Zapata. Both are currently being mentioned as hot property throughout the Serie A. Bernardeschi, as you mentioned earlier, is also who he wants a move back to Italy. Carlos Augusto is wanted by many, especially in the Premier League. It's no secret that this guy is the hottest talent at the moment within that team. And also the latest hot rumor is young striker Mate Arnautovic from
Antunovic.
Oh my God, Antunovic, you're right. Yeah. Dyslexic. from Hajduk Split. Now, as you mentioned, part of the, because you might not be seeing sensational signings over here by Monza, but a lot of their efforts were, you know, redeeming the players that they had on loan with the likes of Caprari, the likes of Pessina, the likes of Sensi, so on and so forth. So, yeah, they spent a lot of money over there, and at this point, it's maintenance. I think Gagliardini is a good player that they brought in, good squad player, and so is Carboni.
Yes.
Hopefully more of what we saw last season for Monza, with an even better start this time round.
For sure, bro. Moving on to Udinese.
Yes, Udinese. When it comes to the players that have left Udinese so far, Tolgay Arslan will no longer be playing for them. He has moved to Australia on a free. Melbourne City who finished second in the Australian A-League last year, just behind the Central Coast Mariners. I watched those two teams go head-to-head last season live. Rodrigo Becão has joined Fenerbahce for 8.3 million. He was a staple in Udinese's team for so many years. Milan fans will all breathe a sigh of relief to know that Becão is no longer going to be scoring against them. And also, massive, massive loss for Udinese is their captain, Pereira. He's off on a free. So he's a free agent right now. It would be silly not to see a team pick him up. And right. I'm surprised he's not a Watford player at this point. Now, when it comes to the players that have joined Udinese, not many big names, but Udinese aren't known for bringing in many big names. So they have Oyer Zarraga joining from Athletic Bilbao. He's a 24-year-old central midfielder. He had 6 starts and 20 appearances off the bench for Athletic Bilbao. He had 8 starts the season prior. Progress was at a halt, and this is a new opportunity for him. I don't know too much about the player. I don't know why he didn't get so many starts last season, but hopefully his career will be revitalized at Udinese. Brenner joined from Cincinnati for 10 million. He's a 23-year-old striker known for his pace and finishing. He has 115 games, 40 goals and 10 assists in Brazil and the USA. Like you said, you can only score when you play, and that's exactly what he's done in those leagues. Yes, Lorenzo Lucca. This is a move that I love.
Same here, bro.
The Pisa giant striker. How tall is he, bro?
Six foot six, brother. That's 2.01 meters for those of you.
Yes, still 22 years old, known for his strength, finishing, technique, hold up play, and his aerial talent as well. He's 6 foot six, which is 2 meters, like you said. It's surprising. It's always surprising to see such a tall player with such good technique. I think that's exactly what he has. He's a former Primavera top scorer with 14 goals and he also scored 2 goals in 14 games with Ajax and 6 goals in 35 for Pisa and 14 goals in 27 for Palermo. So he's had a bit of a mixed career so far, but he's still just 22 years old. And it's interesting to see finally what he gets to do at Serie A. There's a player you've been talking about for a while.
A 6'6" striker who had the Ajax experience.
Yes, bro.
He's so good at hold-up play, and that's probably the reason why those flick-ons and his intelligence and his awareness. I think he learned a lot in the Netherlands.
Yes, I think so too, bro. Jordan Zamora has joined from Bournemouth on a free. He is Udogie's replacement. That's one thing we didn't mention. Udogie has left, but that was agreed a while ago.
Yeah.
Remind me Spurs. Who he joined. Spurs in the Sperms. Premier League. Sperms. Jordan Zamora is a 23-year-old left back, a left-footed left back known for his pace and crossing, so he can be quite effective for them over there. He has 59 Premier League appearances with 3 goals and 2 assists. Christian Cabalese has joined from Watford. What? A Watford player joining Udinese? I wonder who is responsible for that. Not Pozzo. He is a Belgian experienced defender, probably coming in to replace Rodrigo Becão. We'll see what he is capable of over there. A cheap replacement, naturally. Also, Etienne Camara has joined from Huddersfield for 2 million. He is a 20-year-old defensive midfielder, known for his good passing, solid tackling, and he has 21 appearances for Huddersfield last season. No contributions. That is not what is expected of him.
Very good, bro. Yes. Udinese, of course, have Samardzic, who's hot property, and they also like Duvan Zapata. There isn't much going on for them when it comes to rumors, because it seems that they've been quite active already, and they've actually brought in quite a few people and have been making moves in the market. Nice to see over there, Udinese. And I really like the Brenner and Lucca combination. Yes. We'll see. One of them is bound to get going, no?
Exactly. Agreed, bro.
Okay, moving on to Sassuolo, bro. Sassuolo have, of course, allowed Riccardo Marchizza to leave for 1.5 million. He has joined Frosinone. Abdu Harrui has also joined Frosinone for 2.5 million euros. Marco Sala has gone to Como, and Kaan Ayhan has gone to Galatasaray for 2.8 million. Now, when it comes to who they've brought in Christian Volpato from Roma for 7.5 million euros. The right winger, he's 19 years old. He had 13 games, 2 goals, and 1 assist with Roma.
Both last-minute goals.
Very dramatic. Filippo Missori was brought in from Roma for 2.5 million euros. He's a 19-year-old right back. He had 3 appearances for Roma last season. We don't really know much about him, but a very exciting prospect over here was Samuele Mulattiri, brought in from Inter for 6 million euros. He's a striker. He's 22 years old. He's pacey. He's a good finisher. He was at Frosinone last year and helped them win the league in Serie B. He had 29 games with 12 goals scored. He also scored 5 goals in Sassuolo's friendly 22-0 victory recently.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely the competition that was needed for Pinamonti over there, especially another young Italian striker.
Of course. Alessio Cranio was brought in from Monza on loan with option to buy for an undisclosed fee. He's 29 years old nowadays. He was one of the best goalkeepers in the league when he was at Cagliari. He played once for Monza, as discussed, in a 3-0 loss to Salernitana, and didn't play again. Of course, Di Gregorio is a very tough man to bench. Mattia Viti was brought in on loan with option to buy from Nice. He is a centre-back, 21 years old, left-footed. He had 9 appearances for Nice last season. He even scored a goal for them. He played 20 games for Empoli in 21-22. And he also played with Ehrlich at Empoli.
Oh,
or Ehrlich, however you want
to
pronounce it. So that's, you know, you're getting a defensive duo who have played together before.
Yes.
That's also a good thing. Daniel Bolocca was brought in from Frosinone for 10 million euros. He is a centre-back also. He's 24 years old. He played 31 games in Serie B last season. He also managed to score 2 goals, and he was pivotal for Frosinone's title victory. He is Romanian.
Yes. When it comes to the movement that we'll be expecting, or the rumours rather that have been going on, as we mentioned earlier, Rogerio has interest from Milan as well as Spartak. He'll have 2 very different roles over there, one as a vice and one potentially as a starter. Himad Abdelli is on the radar with the Algerian class of 99, playing for Angers in League One. They're also interested in Alejo Veliz, a 19-year-old striker who's owned by Rosario Central. Again, Sassuolo are this kind of team, right? They don't really sign any massive names. They either sign you if you're a young Italian upcoming talent, or if you're an obscure player from somewhere and you want a team where you could learn how to be very tactically disciplined and showcase some of your flair, then Sassuolo is the place for you.
Fantastic, bro. Yes, Sassuolo is a good place to develop and to grow. It's kind of stepping stone for many of these young players.
Yes, there's also been rumors about Berardi. For a while, there was Berardi to Lazio. Mm. That seemed very close to happening. I don't know where they are right now with that. It's something that excited a lot of Lazio fans and a lot of Serie A fans, especially at a team like Lazio, having Berardi on one side and Zaccagni on the other side with Immobile up front. That's an Italian front three, would be very exciting for them. But it seems to be halted. We will keep you updated on what happens with Berardi.
Yes, and if not on the podcast, on Instagram. Check us out there at Serie A Spotlight.
Moving on to Empoli. When it comes to the players that have left Empoli so far, there's Fabiano Parisi, the left back who has joined Fiorentina for 10 million, as we mentioned earlier. Massive loss for them over there. Filippo Bandinelli has joined Spezia for 2.5 million, a good squad player that brought a lot of experience to the side. Mm-hmm. And Guglielmo Vicario to Spurs for 20 million. Probably the best performing goalkeeper last season. And you know what? Fuck it. He was just as good the season before. It's just he made a triple save and suddenly everyone knew about him.
Yeah.
Massive, massive loss for Empoli. You know how much I love Vicario. Gonna miss him tremendously in the league. But again, always exciting to see Italian players in the Premier League. And I will be keeping a close eye on him. He's definitely gonna bench Hugo Lloris. When it comes to the players that Empoli have brought in. Number one. Emmanuel Giassi for 2 million from Spezia. Now, where does this guy play? Is he a striker? Is he a right winger, a left winger, a right midfielder, a left midfielder? He seems to play pretty much all over the place. To be fair, his technique is also all over the place. Giassi's an interesting player. He's never really caught my eye, but for some reason, he was a constant starter at Spezia. And fuck it, for a team like Empoli, maybe he'll be a decent squad player. Who knows?
Jazzy back in the day was known for his pace and the dribbling, right? Mm. But that's something that you don't really see from him anymore. Jazzy is versatile, as you said. He will always give you 100%, and he's a leader and a real man of the people. So that's what you get when you get Jazzy. Is he a great player? Is his output great? No. But he's a good player.
He's not a solution.
Yeah.
But hey, he's a 2 million player.
Captain of a previous Serie A team.
Captain of a previous Serie A team. Good Serie A experience. So Jazzy to Empoli. We'll see what happens over there. Elia Caprile has joined from Napoli on a loan. He is a 21-year-old goalkeeper. He is hailed as quite a hot talent. And with Vicario leaving, maybe he will be able to get some minutes. We spoke about this earlier. He was Bari's starting goalkeeper last year. He had a very good playoff spell. And yeah, they were seconds away from promotion because of some top saves that he made, but luck was not on their side in the final. So interesting to see whether or not he will be their starter or whether they'll bring in someone else. I think he will be their starter. Filippo Ranocchia has joined from Juventus for for 500k. He's a 22-year-old central midfielder. He played 14 games and has one goal in Serie A last season with Monza, and 31 games and one goal for Vicenza in Serie B the season before. Daniel Maldini has joined Empoli on a loan from AC Milan. Naturally, his dad left and he left. An attacking midfielder, 21 years old. Look, when it comes to Daniel Maldini, is he there because of his name? Maybe. But when you speak to, or you hear the interviews rather, of players that have trained with him, they do hail him as a very, very talented player. Maybe at Empoli is where we get to see that. We didn't really get to see it at Spezia last year, although he scored two very important goals, one against Milan, one against Inter. The guy doesn't settle for anything less than that. He has 31 Serie A matches for Milan, and Spezia scoring three goals in the meantime. It's funny, like I said, he scored against Milan and Inter, and for Milan, he scored against Spezia. So yeah, it's I think Empoli is a better fit for him than Spezia were. And he's got a great manager over there in Zanetti, who hopefully will develop him into the player he is destined to be, having that Maldini surname. They've also signed Samuele Angori from Perugia for 200k. He is quite a versatile 19-year-old player. He's played as a left-back and as a central midfielder before. He has a very, very good left foot. He's known for his crossing as well as his work rate. He has 62 games and 16 assists for in the Primavera.
Notice the profile. This is basically Parisi, you know? Left-back that can also join the midfield.
Well, he is definitely a direct replacement for him. Definitely a direct replacement. But yeah, that is Empoli.
They've had a good market so far. I think Empoli, quite respectable. They're after Khedira from Bari, the Morocco international striker. They're also looking at Michael Folorunsho. He's a concrete target. He's a Napoli midfielder who was a major protagonist at Bari last year with 9 goals and 4 assists, and is currently being evaluated by Garcia as to whether Napoli should keep him or not before they actually allow him to leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, Empoli are one of those teams that is known for a lot of loan moves, a lot of these 2-year loans with obligations, options, and a lot of these guys were three important players for them, especially Razvan Marin, who was on loan from Cagliari. He is on another season loan from Cagliari until the end of 2024. Not too sure if they have an option, an obligation, and what will be exercised after that. The important thing is that he will be there until the end of 2024. Then there's also two strikers who haven't really hit the ground running yet, much like the other strikers of Empoli. There's Satriano and Piccoli. Now, Satriano's off on loan with Brest now in France, whilst Piccoli has another season on loan at Empoli from Atalanta, and then they have an option to buy, but Atalanta have an option to buy him back after that. So that is an update when it comes to all of these loaned players within Empoli.
Very good, bro. Up next, we have Salernitana, who, just like Napoli, have not signed a single player yet.
These Campania teams are lacking, huh?
They're stingy. Piontek has left Salernitana. He went to Turkey. Başakşehir is his new team. Bonazzoli and Valencia have also left. And Dia will probably leave too, as he is hot property and has a €25 million release clause. Now, when it comes to the rumors, Salernitana are interested in Alejo Veliz, who's a 19-year-old striker owned by Rosario Central. Mm-hmm. They like Miretti and have inquired about Miretti.
Okay.
They have also asked about Adli, and we're looking to buy Adli from Milan. And we're also linked with Rebic.
I would love to see Rebic at Salernitana.
Same here.
Fuck it. Give me
fall in love with their fans, huh?
100%. Give me Rebic, Adli.
Oh my god.
Left wing and attacking mid for Salernitana.
Amazing.
That'd be crazy, man.
So yeah, that's pretty much it for Salernitana. They've not made many moves. I think they're waiting for the Dia deal to go through, because that will give them some cash to actually play around with.
Exactly.
I don't know if the players express desire to stay or to leave or anything. It's quite low-key at the moment, you know, under the radar. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. We will see. It's still exciting times for Salernitana. Lecce is the next team we're going to be covering when it comes to the players that they've lost Simone Romagnoli, who's off to Frosinone, and also Tommaso Cassandro, who's off to Como for around €500,000. When it comes to players they've brought in, nothing really to write home about here for Lecce. They have Lorenzo Venuti, who joined from Fiorentina on a free. That's actually a decent signing for them, the 27-year-old right back. He has 115 games in Serie A for Benevento and Fiorentina, and he also has 4 assists over there. He's invaluable experience for Lecce, something that they struggled with Serie A experience last season, so it's good seeing them bringing in a player of this caliber, Lorenzo Venuti, to Lecce on a free. Zinedine Smailovic is the second player that they signed this season from Tabi FK for around €100,000. He's a 19-year-old centre-back who's known for his technique, athleticism and size in that centre-back position. However, he's quite inexperienced. He will be Lecce's defensive joker, and we'll probably see him little this season, but the Giallorossi believe in him and aim to make him grow at home. He scored 5 goals in 13 games for Etta Nora. All of these goals were of a certain technical prowess. Lecce have wanted a big centre-back for a while, just like they bought Bjornsson in 2021. And obviously, since they lost Samuele Umtiti, then maybe he will be a direct replacement for him over there.
Yeah, we'll see. They're definitely going to feel the loss of Umtiti. Let's hope they can hold on to Bascherotto, because there are many suitors who are after him. Let's remember that Lecce are no longer managed by Baroni. They have D'Aversa as their manager, former Sampdoria and Ascoli man. Strefezza is wanted by many clubs as well. They would want to hold on to their little gem over there. They've set the asking price for Strefezza to €10 million. Only €10 million. I think that you can get 15,
absolutely.
18 million. Why not? Yeah.
I think so.
If
you could do good business, then you can, definitely.
They've also redeemed Falcone from Sampdoria for €4 million.
Sampdoria making some good money from Serie B, huh? I genuinely think we'll see them back very soon.
Probably. They've brought Fabio Borini in, bro.
There you go, bro.
Yes, I think Lecce still need defenders and strikers, to be honest. We'll see what happens over there. Another slow market for them.
To be honest, seeing how their performances were in the latter stages of last season after their very good start and the loss of Umtiti and the fact that they haven't really shaken things
up. Great manager.
I'm not too hopeful for Lecce last season, but it's not even match day one, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. They were very defensively sound last year. Of course, they had Umtiti, they had a different manager. They never conceded more than 2 goals in a game up until the very last match day of the season. Yes, but yeah. Next up, we have Hellas Verona, who have brought in Jordi Imbula from Mallorca on a free. He's a right winger, 23 years old. He had 35 games with 2 goals and 2 assists across France, Spain and Portugal. Still young, still raw. He will definitely have his opportunity to impress over here. Ricardo Saponara was brought in from Fiorentina, and you know how we feel about him. He can play as an attacking midfielder, he can play as a left winger. He's 31 years old, known for his creativity, his shooting and his high footballing IQ. He had 4 goals and 3 assists last season with Fiorentina. He's played 217 games in Italy, with 30 goals and 36 assists in total. You know what you're getting here. You're getting a high IQ player. Now, Hellas Verona have let Tameze go to Torino for 2.8 million, and they've also let Ibrahim Sulemana go to Cagliari for 4 million.
As you mentioned earlier as well, Himad Abdelli is on the radar for many teams, Hellas Verona being one of them. Again, the Algerian class of 99 player who plays for Angers in Ligue 1. Michael Folorunso remains a concrete goal for Verona. The Napoli midfielder, who was a major protagonist at Bari last year with 9 goals and 4 assists and is currently being evaluated by Garcia. So more on this player to come in the near future. Keep an eye out for him. We'll see what happens over there. The next team we're going to be covering is Frosinone, who won Serie B last season after they were managed by Fabio Grosso. However, they are now being managed by Di Francesco. The players that they've lost are Daniel Bolocca, who's joined Sassuolo for 10 million, Roberto Insigne, who is off to Palermo, I wonder who he's related to, and Matteo Ricci, who has joined Sampdoria. All jokes aside, Roberto Insigne, the brother of Lorenzo Insigne, is actually quite a decent talent. When it comes to the players that they have brought in, they've brought in Riccardo Marchizza from Sassuolo for 1.5 million, the 24-year-old left back. He has 54 Serie A appearances, and for assists, he's represented Sassuolo, Empoli, Roma, and Spezia. Another player they've brought in is Marco Brescianini from AC Milan on a free, but Milan have a 50% sell-on clause. This is the 23-year-old central midfielder, known for his passing. He was a key player for Cosenza in Serie B last season. He was at Monza the season prior, but only made 5 appearances in that season where they got promoted to Serie A. They've also signed Simone Romagnoli from Lecce, as we discussed earlier, the centre-back. They've also signed Marvin Cuni from Bayern Munich on a free. He is a 20-year-old striker known for his finishing pace and athleticism. He is German and Albanian. He's in a stature of 188 centimetres. He scored 19 goals in 34 appearances at 19 years of age in the 4th division of Germany. 9 goals in 32 games in the 3rd league in Germany last year as well. Now we'll see what he does in the biggest stage in Italy.
You know what it's going to be tough.
It's going to be very tough, but... You know,
he's a Bayern Munich youth product.
Exactly.
So there's talent there for sure.
Just like Zirkzee.
Yeah. And fucking what was his name?
Cuisance.
No, bro. The striker.
But Cuisance as well.
Yeah. There was a striker, Albanian. He played for Spezia.
We spoke about him recently. Piaka.
No, I can never remember his stupid name. He was so shit, bro. Albanian.
He had the boom, 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 boom celebration, the machine gun celebration.
An Albanian Bayern Munich youth product. What the hell was his name? Manai.
Not Piaka. Manai.
Manaj.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj. He was shit, you're right.
Yeah.
Georgie. Let's just stop it there. Georgie Gvernadze from Dinamo Batumi on loan with an option to buy. He's a 20-year-old left winger, an inverted left winger. Many teams were interested in him. He played for the same club as Kvaratskhelia, obviously Dinamo Batumi. He also plays in the same position as Kvaratskhelia. He has 3 goals in 24 games in the Georgian League in 2022, 0 goals in 7 games last season. He also has the same agent as Kvaratskhelia, so... Maybe some wishful thinking here by...
Three Georgians in the league.
Three?
Yeah.
Because there is...
Guess.
So there's Gvara. There's Georgie.
Yeah.
God, bro. God.
Well, no, there were. Lachos, he's relegated. So that leaves two.
Exactly.
Never mind.
They also signed, and this is probably the player we're most familiar with over here, apart from Marchizza and Romagnoli, Abdou Harroui from Sassuolo for 2.5 million, the 25-year-old central midfielder. He has 101 games in Serie A. He's got 18 goals and 13 assists for Sparta Rotterdam. He's got 40 games for Sassuolo with 2 goals. He is a midfielder with offensive skills and can... in fact also adapt well to the role of a winger and or attacking midfielder. So it's good at least to see that Frosinone have made some signings with some level of Serie A experience, with Simone Romagnoli, with Riccardo Marchizza, with Harrui, and also, you know, a Milan youth product with Brescianini. So yeah, they've moved decently in the market.
They want to buy a French player called Costa del Tolosa, who I don't know much about. They also want to rebuy Ravanelli, who returned to Cremonese. He was on loan with them. They're interested in the young talent of Inter Milan called Fabian, double B.
Okay.
And they're also interested in Caviglia of Juventus and Maya of Bordeaux, or Maja, I'm not quite sure.
Probably Maya.
Yeah. Moving on to Genoa. Genoa have brought in a player who is very similar to Criscito. Those of you who remember Criscito.
Yes.
This is Aaron Martin. They've brought him in from Mainz on a free transfer. He's a left back. He's 25 years old. He's known for his attacking prowess, his crossing, his pace. He's played in La Liga and Bundesliga for Espanyol, Celta Vigo and Mainz. He's played 28 games last season and scored 5 goals and got 3 assists. So he's a good one for fantasy football, those of you who play. Matteo Retegui, the new Italian hot talent, was bought from Boca Juniors for 15 million euros. He's a striker. He's 24 years old, known for his
goal against Malta.
For his goal against Malta, exactly. He's the destroyer of Malta. He was on loan at Tigre in Argentina and was owned by Boca Juniors youth academy, basically. 21 appearances, 11 goals and 1 assist last year. Very raw player, but of course, 15 million is a bit expensive for a player. It is.
But the fact that he's Italian and that he's under 25, look at Ricci. Ricci is asking price of 30 million.
But Ricci's done it in a big league, man.
Yes, you're right. But I'm just saying that they fit under the same kind of thing that boosts them by 10 million. Today you sent me a photo of Retegui and you sent me a cartoon that he looks like. Who was it?
It was Ed from Ed and Ed, the yellow one.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you. I know which one Ed
is. No, but it could be any of them.
Double D.
Manolo Portanova has been sold to Reggiana despite being sentenced to 6 years in prison last year for gang rape. With his uncle and a 17-year-old boy. Fucking hell. Francesco Cassata has gone to Spezia. Leonard Sisborra has gone to PEC.
Ooh, I remember Sisborra.
Yeah.
Who was Sisborra at previously?
Genoa.
Ah, yeah. There you are.
And Stefano Sturaro left on a free. I would have tried to keep him if I were Genoa. Hey. He's their record transfer. But apparently they couldn't agree a deal. Genoa are an interesting team, guys. They are probably here to stay in Serie A. They have new owners, 777 Partners. They are American and therefore rich. They are interested in Meita from Benfica, Valeri from Cremonese and Hops from Venezia. Zanoli of Napoli is the hottest rumor as well.
I want Genoa in Serie A for two reasons. Number one, they are a team with a lot of pedigree. A team that belongs in Serie A, a team with a rich history in Serie A. I want them there for as long as possible. I have a significant soft spot for the team. Number two, I want to listen to the Lanterna podcast where they cover Serie A football.
Yeah.
I don't want them to have to cover Serie B football.
But it is nice.
Serie
B podcast to listen
hipster.
To.
Yeah. We love it, but for their enjoyment, I certainly hope that they get to cover Serie A next year.
Serie B, man, they have a problem with highlights, man, as well. Only release highlights 3 weeks after a game is played or something. It's ridiculous. Let's do Cagliari, bro.
But yes, the last team we're going to be covering, this was fun, is Cagliari. Cagliari haven't sold a single player yet, as far as we're concerned, but doesn't seem like it. They signed Tommaso Augello from Sampdoria for 2 million. You know what you're getting with Augello? He has 127 games for Sampdoria with 4 goals and 11 assists. He's a young, solid and reliable player. He's got a lot of character as well. When I say young, he's 27. It's just the fact that he was a physics student 3 years ago.
Made me think
he's super
That's
young.
That's true, by the way. He's a very smart lad who attended university.
Yes. Yeah. Also, as we mentioned previously, Ibrahim Sulemana has joined from Hellas Verona for 4 million euros. He's a 24-year-old centre-back known for his talent in the air, his pace, and his interceptions. He is from the Atalanta nursery and Verona Primavera. He's got 735 minutes played in Serie A, 17 appearances with Verona's under-19s last year too, getting a goal and 3 assists. Controversial deal, as 4 million is a lot for Cagliari, and this boy doesn't give many guarantees, but hopefully it will be a risk worth taking for them. Eldor Shomorodov is probably the player of the highest caliber that they have signed. He signed from Roma on a loan with an option to buy. The 27-year-old striker didn't manage to really insert himself at Roma or Spezia, for that matter, last season. However, he has 4 goals and 4 assists for Roma over 2 seasons, 8 goals and 1 assist for Genoa in 2020-2021, and as I said previously, a shit spell at Spezia last year. But he is a player with a lot of flair, and he is a dangerous player. He's skilled in the air, and he does have a rocket in his pocket. So hopefully this will be the season that he brings it.
I think this next one is their best signing.
Not bad, but Shomorodov is definitely the highest caliber. But Jakub Jankto has joined from Getafe. He returns to Serie A. He is a central midfielder who has also played out wide before. He's 27 years old. Fantastic work rate on this guy. His last season in Italy was in 2020-2021 with Sampdoria, where he played 35 games and got 6 goals and 3 assists. And he also played for Udinese, where he had 182 games in the top flight with 17 goals and 20 assists. And he's also known for being gay.
Yes, he is the first openly gay football player. And we support him and we love him.
Exactly. Simone Scuffè has joined Cagliari. Scuffè, I know Scuffè. Scuffè, the goalkeeper. Yes, he is in fact the 27-year-old goalkeeper that signed from Club Cluj for 800k. He is going to be the substitute of Radunovic, definitely, because Radunovic had too good a campaign last year for him not to start for Cagliari this season. He does have 40 Serie A appearances, Scuffè. Scuffè, was he with Udinese?
No, I think there was another player, bro, who was called Scuffè.
I'm just checking real quick, and yes, he was at Udinese from 2013 to 2021, where he got his 40 appearances in Serie A, actually. So, bit of ball knowledge from your boy Matt.
Nicely
over
done.
Over there, thank you very much. So yeah, some good experience. Maybe he'll be a good coach for Radunovic, because I don't think he'll be displacing him. I really don't think he will be.
Probably not. He's a very good goalkeeper.
But it is important to have a vice, and a vice with some level of experience. But yes, that is our transfer rundown so far. Done. Yes. Hopefully this won't be too irrelevant within the next 5 days.
I think in about 15 minutes, something crazy will happen probably. Let's see if anything's happened.
Yeah, check. Serie A, transfers, news.
Let's see. Okay, so Balatore has snubbed Fulham. Chukwueze will wear the number 21 for Milan. Very exciting. Milan and Besiktas are negotiating for Rebic.
Salary seems to be an issue over
salary,
there.
Salary, yes. Fiorentina are after a young Croatian talent. This all happened within the last 40 minutes.
That's crazy, man. Why don't we shut the fuck up and post this so we're not too ridiculously... Hey,
let's go. Thank you very much for listening. We love
relax.
You. Follow us at Serie A Spotlight.
Yes, it's been great to be back. Guys, don't forget, this is our last call for people that want to join our Fantacalcio League together with our patrons. You will need to join our Patreon in order to enter that. It will be bags of fun, and you also get added to the latest group chat in Serie A history. Don't forget to give us a rating wherever you're listening. Follow us on our socials and just send us your opinions. Engage with us. We love you all, and it's great to be back, man. Fantastic to be back.
And we love doing to talk this. Football, guys. So DM us, and we'll actually enjoy the exchange. You know,
exactly.
It's not a chore at all. It's just a fun conversation.
Don't be shy. But thank you very much, guys. We'll be seeing you soon, and much like all of you, really looking forward to the 19th, where we finally get to enjoy the best league in the world again. Serie A.
Woo.